What is up, everyone? Welcome to Movies Chat. My name is Eric Davis, and you know, a growing number of aspiring filmmakers are taking to YouTube these days, and they're building massive fan bases and ultimately successful careers without ever going the film festival route. Yesterday, our friends from Film School Rejects wrote about this up-and-coming trend in a post called "Will YouTube Make Festivals Obsolete for Indies?" And today, joining me to talk about this is managing editor of Film School Rejects, Cole Abias. He wrote the post. What's up? What's going on, man?
You know, ready to talk about this issue because I think it's fascinating, and I am very pleased that you invited me back to the show.
Yeah, it is a very fascinating issue. Your piece was based on another piece Brian Newman from Subgenre.com wrote called "Disrupted Indie Filmmakers," and in the piece he picks out a couple. You know, I think four different YouTube. Kind of, I guess we'll call them YouTube filmmakers.
Stars, YouTube superstars.
YouTube superstars. And what they're doing is they're building these giant fan bases and then using those fan bases to help fund projects through, you know, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, that they, you know, bigger projects, larger projects, that they will then in turn give back to their fans, and they're building successful careers. I know one of the people he mentions is Freddie Wong. I know Freddie Wong has this a whole team now that works for him, and he's raising ridiculous amounts of money to make longer films. And none of these people are on the film festival circuit. None of them are going to film festivals and going that route. And so you're kind of saying in this post, will that make – festivals obsolete? Will more independent filmmakers go to YouTube, build audiences, and I mean, is that kind of what you're looking at here?
I think right now we're looking at a big question. And what's fascinating, and I have to give 100% of the credit here to Newman, who is writing about something that seems incredibly obvious that no one has written about this directly yet until now. And that is that there is a sort of middleman component to the film festival. For years and years, they have been the launching pad for newer artists looking to find an audience. And even now, film production companies or distribution companies will look to film festivals for newer work or interesting work from seasoned veterans that they can take and say, look, we had a really great positive response from this festival. There was an audience that really liked it. So now we're going to use that to sell it. In this case, you have people who are bypassing that completely and using YouTube to build an audience and then twisting that a bit, using that built-in knowledge base, and I mean knowledge base as knowledge of their fans, who their fans are and what they expect, and then asking them for money, getting that money, and then providing a service to them directly. This is a really interesting new model to me, and really Newman covers all of the bases, but there are two components to it that are really indicative to me of how this is going to play out for the future and maybe the next 5 years, maybe the next 10. One is that in working online, a lot of these filmmakers actually are prohibiting themselves from going the festival route. It's not just that they aren't. It's that a lot of festivals don't allow your work to be online as it's at the festival. And so I personally know several short filmmakers who have postponed putting their work up online because they're trying to get into festivals. And it actually, from putting your film in the can to actually getting it up online and trying to build an audience that way, there's usually a huge lag time because you're mailing off copies to Sundance. And the second component there is film festivals themselves. If you want a bigger proof that this is actually a phenomenon that could possibly have a profound effect on the way we do things, festivals themselves are putting their films, especially short films, online now. So instead of having to go to Tribeca and get my press badge and everything, I can log in on their website and watch a lot of their content from my home in Germany.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think also too, you know, people, your press too, I think you have access to a lot of the stuff that they have that other people may have to pay for. And
well, no, even, I mean, even that, I mean, even if they're having to pay for it, it's still a situation where a typical fan can go to Tribeca Film Festival from their couch by going online.
And I think that's a good thing. I think I think a lot of people look at new kind of trends that are coming out and they say, okay, what is this going to kill? And I think – I don't think it's necessarily that way. Yeah, maybe with DVD and VHS. But with this, I think this is only going to enhance the film festivals. It's going to make film festivals more accessible to people who are in areas where they can't get to Tribeca. They can't get to Sundance. And making film festivals accessible is something that we even deal with as press, because I am sure you deal with it too, is when we go to cover a film festival, it's difficult to make our coverage accessible enough for people to want to care, because they don't know any of these movies. And a lot of the movies don't have the big stars that they're used to. So I think going online with their films makes the film festival more accessible. It makes people more interested in the film festival. I don't think it's going to make the film festival obsolete, because I still think that there's a desire of exhibition to see the films in theaters, to go to a film festival, to experience the life of a film festival in there, to see these films on the big screen before anybody else sees them. And I don't think that desire is going to go away anytime soon. Film festivals are still a marketplace to purchase films. And I think that needs to be there. But I think film festivals will expand online. And the ones that are doing it, I know Sundance, Tribeca, South By are really at the forefront of making their films accessible online. They're touring with their films as well to other cities, which is another great idea. Mm-hmm. And so I look at something like this, like the people that he mentions, and I don't think that they're going to create this revolution of people that are going to say screw the film festival, because I think there are a lot of filmmakers making kind of small indie films that, yeah, sure, we can drop it on YouTube and maybe four people are going to watch it. You know, I think you have to keep in mind that the people that he mentions in this article, Freddie Wong especially, he's making these really elaborate, geek-friendly, special effects-driven shorts, and that kind of stuff pops. You know, even Jenna Marbles, you know, makes these videos of, you know, here's what girls do in the car, and, you know, just stupid kind of everyday relatable videos. And that's the kind of stuff that people want to watch, you know, Avengers mashups, you know. But if you're going to make this really kind of quiet personal drama, you know, about a husband and a wife who are having problems in their marriage, unless, you know, one of them time travels, you know, halfway through, it's going to be tough to kind of build a fan base of millions of fans on YouTube. So I think that's why a lot of these filmmakers are still saving it for the film festival world, because I feel like that's still how you have to go. And I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon, just because I feel like the culture on YouTube skews young. And it's geek-driven, and it's quote-unquote stupid-driven. And I feel like people who want to make higher quality content aren't going to necessarily look at that as a go-to option for them.
Well, not right at first, I don't think. But I do see that I would contend that we are on the threshold of this. And I think in 5 years, the thinking of this will have shifted a bit away from the kind of mindset that you're talking about. To your first point, I agree with you, with the caveat that film festivals like South By, like Tribeca, that are putting their work, not only touring with it, but putting the work that they're displaying online and sharing that with the online community, I think those are going to be the film festivals that survive this. And I mean that really seriously, because for not just this issue, but for the past 30 years or so, there has been a shift in the way that festivals operate. And a lot of festivals that even were doing more repertory screenings and more independent screenings have shifted away from that to having a huge opening night movie and having a lot of stars and a lot of red carpet. And that's how you pay the bills. And that may be the way that they continue on, is having a lot of notable new work from established people, or having a lot of celebrities involved. But over time, this model to me, not just YouTube, but also Vimeo, is such a much more efficient and efficacious way of building an audience. And I think that on the flip side, the festivals that don't transition online will be left behind in a major way, in the same way that aspiring filmmakers who are trying to make a name for themselves who don't turn to the online world are also going to be missing out. And I think it's really problematic. The festival route so far is the only route to that sort of notoriety, and it's a very flawed one. It's a very difficult one. You're still, even if you are accepted into the festival through the sea of people, you're still tossed into a sea of other work. Mm-hmm. And trying to drum up interest for yours is incredibly difficult. And the interesting thing is that the goal of a festival is to show quality that will pull the kind of attention that you're looking for. And that's the same thing online. You know, you may think that putting up a drama about a man and a woman having marital issues may not pull in the same amount of views as a cat playing the keyboard, which is true, scientifically proven is true. But to me, I see videos like that, especially stuff from Jenna Marbles and some of the funnier die content that's done by aspiring comedians. I see that as waiting tables. It is the new world version of waiting tables. Instead of going out to LA and waiting tables and making that your plan B, your plan A for a while you get exposure, people are now making other work and trying to get exposure through that in order to build an audience. There's nothing in the rule book that says that Freddie Wong can't make a quiet contemplative drama.
No, there is nothing.
And he's got millions of subscribers, and theoretically some of them, despite, you know, them going to him for a very specific thing, would maybe be into that, and he can find that different audience as well. And I think that's what's going to happen. You build up your audience that way.
Yeah, definitely. But I think in order to build your audience, you need accessible content. So if you're a filmmaker that says, you know what, I want to go and try this, then you need to start making some stuff that's accessible. And unfortunately on YouTube right now, the stuff that's accessible are these kinds of, you know, either mundane sort of kind of everyday, you know, here's what's funny about this, or really funny, or just kind of unique, original mashups. You know, I mean, a lot of people are also going to YouTube and making short films and then getting those short films passed around and recognized and getting agents and then getting bigger deals. And so people are going that route too. I mean, you know, Freddie Wong is an exception. He's just kind of sticking on YouTube. He's got his audience and this is what he's doing. I think a lot of other people are saying, you know what, I'm going to make a short film, try to get some notice for it. It's geek friendly and they're landing big deals. So I think that's another way to do, but it's got to be accessible. And that I think is the key word with these films, is they have to be accessible. They have to be something that kind of punches you and says, ooh, I want to go share this, because it really is about sharing right now in social networks and on YouTube. And so you make something that people are going to want to share, then yeah, then you're onto something. Then maybe
that's just the difference in stakes. I mean, that to me really is the difference in the risk and reward of going a festival route or doing it online. When you go festival, yes, you can make a more personal story probably. You're a little bit open to genre. You don't have to be necessarily geek friendly. And I would tend to agree with you. I think there are certainly a few examples that are outliers, but by and large, I think you're probably exactly right about that. But the festival route, you know, you pay to apply to the festival. Maybe you get in, maybe you don't. And then when you show your film, maybe you have something that really punches people, but their ability to share that, like you said, with our reviewing, you know, new work from new filmmakers at festivals, it doesn't get page views. And I'll be frank about that, usually because no one recognizes there's no access to it, either by a recognizable name or a recognizable idea. And sometimes that buzz can get so huge that it's you can't even avoid it as a fan. But most times at a festival, even incredible work doesn't break through that bubble. And so the festival's success itself can even feel a bit tricky. It can be this incredible high where you've won the festival. There's tons of people happy about your work. They're excited and thrilled. And then you don't get a buyer and it doesn't get any word of mouth beyond that. And your film fades into obscurity. And the opposite of that is you know, you trade off a little bit of your freedom as an artist. You go to YouTube, you go to Vimeo, which is probably a better home for those trying to make something a bit less geek driven or accessible, like you say. And the risk is less on the money front, and it's more on the limitations front, but the rewards are tenfold because of the ability to share all of that. If you find something that people want to share, it will burst through the thousands bubble of the festival and into the potential millions, which can really have a true effect on that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it comes down to knowing what you have. And because it is a risk, you know, and if you're a filmmaker and you're sitting there with a short film that you really – you're proud of, and you put it on YouTube, and that negates the big festivals. You're done. You're out of that world. And right. now you're going in this – so you kind of have to look at something, and it's a good time to share it and share it with some people that can give you opinions that aren't your mom and your dad. And to, you know, do you have something here that could go, that could be shared, you know, because, you know, but I mean, I think a lot of people too are coming out of film schools and they're making this stuff, and they kind of grown up with this idea of wanting to watch it on the big screen, wanting to have mm-hmm. a film festival premiere. That's a very glamorous idea to these filmmakers, and that, you know, it's almost like that turns them on more than finding an agent or having even some success on YouTube is getting to go and walk the red carpet at a film festival. So, you know, I think until filmmakers can kind of start, you know, looking ahead a little bit more and saying, you know, where what venue can I have the most success with this piece of art, and kind of getting, you know, getting past these dreams of you know, standing up on stage and telling an audience at a theater, you know, how much you was inspired by whatever. But, you know, kind of I think it boils down to, do you have something that people will want to share? And if you do, then okay, now we're in business. Okay, sorry about that. We have a little technical difficulties here. But so in summation, where are we at? Are we do we see YouTube making the film festival obsolete? And if so, when?
I think that 99% of aspiring filmmakers, whether they go the online or festival route, are still not going to find audiences, because that's how it works. Mm-hmm. I think for that 1%, there will be a splintering here. I think the success of people like Freddie Wong, and we mention him over and over and over again, and that's because he really is the model for success here. I think that as more people are successful and more people to choose to stay in the online world and find success, true success, and that means money. That means finding the kind of financing from your fans that can keep you going, like Ed Burns does. Ed Burns finds financing on his own, and he makes low budget indie films. He of course came up in the 90s during a different model, but he shares his production with his fans. He actually crowdsources some of the artwork for posters and stuff like that from fans, and it's become more of an engaged experience. Kevin Smith could not have four-walled Red State without a built-in fan base already. They earned those fans in different ways, but there are now people that are finding those fans through the internet. And having 2 million fans from the internet is equally as important as having 2 million fans that you've cultivated through putting films in theaters. So film festival is always going to be the legitimacy. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about, the red carpet and all of that stuff, that's the sort of skin deep part of it. But there is a legitimacy to getting chosen for those things and being shown on the big screen with a live audience. There's something really, truly magical about that. And I don't know that that's going to go away at all anytime soon. But I think we're on the threshold of a major change. I think within the next 7 years, we will see a notable amount of people finding audiences through YouTube or Vimeo or Funny or Die or sites that crop up in the next 7 years, and then utilize Rocket Jump to premiere, that use crowdfunding to get more money and create something. And I think that we will see a notable amount of people doing that. And I think that others that don't are going to be left behind.
I agree. I think we're in that world right now where you know, as an audience member, we can find our own content, we can curate our own content, we can decide what we want to see. And mm-hmm. I think as upcoming filmmakers, when they come out and they want to make it in the, you know, the industry, I think they need to kind of assess the landscape and look at everything and research everything that's out there right now, because every day something new crops up. I think people, a lot of people are out there looking for new ways to share independent content with other people online. And I think definitely within the next 7 years, a lot will come and go, but the ones that are working will stay. And I see places like Kickstarter just flourishing and mm-hmm. Making it possible for people to find fan bases and to, you know, have their fans finance their films. And I'm excited to see where that goes.
And I just want to say in closing, please, everyone who's listening, stop using bath salts as drugs, because we will not see any of this if the world ends because people are chewing each other's faces off.
Yeah, you know what? And that's a good point, because I was just going to go and sniff some bath salts. So thank you for reminding
hopefully
me that
I helped.
Hopefully I reminded that we shouldn't go. And we'll see. And maybe at Sundance next year there will be a bath salt drama that maybe wouldn't have
gone. It's a husband and wife.
And if you have a bath salt drama, you know, it's a hot topic right now. Maybe that's something that would be shared on YouTube. And
I
know we're joking, but you know, that I think when you have a product now, you have to look at it and you have, how accessible is this? Can this get a lot of shares on YouTube? And maybe this is the smarter route for me to go, and maybe I can build an audience that way instead of being lost in a sea of festival
films. Bath salts.
So yeah, bath
festivals.
Salt. If you have a bath salt driven drama right now, hey, maybe think twice about the film festival route. Cole Bias, what are you doing right now in your personal or professional life that's exciting to you?
My personal professional life that's exciting to me? Well, I'm going on a cruise to Italy and France because I didn't go to Cannes like a week ago. So I'm going on a cruise. So my personal and professional life is that I'm taking time off. But right now over at Film School Rejects, we are continuing to put out really cool features. We just did 6 filmmaking tips from Wes Anderson, and that feature is actually expanding a bit. I'm actually going to have some pieces directly written from directors coming up pretty soon.
Ooh.
You know, all of our regular good content is out there.
Nice, nice. Very exciting stuff. Cole Bias, Film School Rejects, go to the site. They do a lot of fun original content, and you know I'm a big fan of original content. And go to the site. Thank you very much, man. Enjoy your cruise. Maybe you can bring your laptop, and while you're sailing through the south of France, you can watch some can movies on YouTube. Oh, but they're not going to be on YouTube because they wouldn't be allowed at the festival.
They're behind the times. They're behind the times is what it is. So.
All right, man. Have a good one. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.